Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to CapeSite Infra Projects Limited Q2 and H1 FY 2025 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participants' lines will be in listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Before we begin, a brief disclaimer: the presentations which CapeSite Infra Projects Limited has uploaded on the stock exchange and their websites, including the discussions during this call, contain or may contain certain forward-looking statements concerning CapeSite Infra Projects Limited business prospects and profitability, which are subject to several risks and uncertainties, and the actual results could materially differ from those in such forward-looking statements. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Rohit Kathiyal, Executive Chairman, CapeSite Infra. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Good morning, everyone. On behalf of CapeSite, I welcome everyone to the Q2 and H1 FY 2025 earnings conference call of the company. Joining me on this call is Mr. Rajesh Dass, CFO, Mr. Nishit Pujari, President, Accounts and Taxation, and Alok Malhotra, Executive Director, Finance, along with Marathon Capital, our IR team. I hope everyone has had an opportunity to look at our results. The presentation and web and press release have been uploaded on the stock exchanges and our company's website. Our company has commenced the year on a positive note, achieving 28% year-on-year revenue growth from operations during H1 FY 2025, along with significant improvement in margins. The back-to-back strong quarterly performance sets the tone for the second half of the year, wherein we anticipate further operational improvements. With central elections and monsoons behind us, we are witnessing further uptick in execution across our project sites. The improved execution has helped us in better absorption of fixed costs, thereby leading to improved profitability. Over the past few years, we have successfully optimized our project portfolio, resulting in significant expansion of order size, reduction in projects under execution, increased revenue contribution per project, enhanced management efficiencies, leading to improvement in margin profile. On the order book front, we are witnessing significant traction both from private and public sector. We have so far been awarded projects worth 1,500 crores, excluding BDD addition of 858 crores during the current fiscal, and are confident of achieving and surpassing our guided order book addition for FY 2025. We have entered a high-growth phase supported by a diversified order book from esteemed clients across public and private sector. Leveraging our robust financial position and execution expertise, we are poised to establish new performance standards. Coming to the consolidated performance highlights for H1 FY 2025, revenue from operations for H1 FY 2025 stood at 1,088 crores, up by 28% as compared to 852 crores in H1 FY 2024. EBITDA for H1 FY 2025 stood at 217 crores, up by 42% as compared to 153 crores in H1 FY 2024. EBITDA margin for H1 FY 2025 stood at 19.7% as compared to 17.6% in H1 FY 2024. EBIT for H1 FY 2025 stood at 173 crores, up by 71% as compared to 101 crores in H1 FY 2024. EBIT margin for H1 FY 2025 stood at 16.1% as compared to 11.6% in H1 FY 2024. PAT for H1 FY 2025 stood at 98 crores, up by 153% as compared to 39 crores in H1 FY 2024. PAT margin for H1 FY 2025 stood at 8.9% as compared to 4.5% in H1 FY24. I now turn to the consolidated performance highlights for Q2 FY25. Revenue from operations for Q2 FY25 stood at 518 crores, up 23% as compared to 422 crores in Q2 FY24. EBITDA for Q2 FY25 stood at 101 crores, up by 30% as compared to 77 crores in Q2 FY24. EBITDA margin for Q2 FY24 stood at 19.3% as compared to 17.7% in Q2 FY24. EBIT for Q2 FY25 stood at 79 crores, up 60% as compared to 50 crores in Q2 FY24. EBIT margins for Q2 FY25 stood at 15.2% as compared to 11.4% in Q2 FY24. PAT for Q2 FY25 stood at 45 crores, up by 126% as compared to 20 crores in Q2 FY24. PAT margin for Q2 FY25 stood at 8.6% as compared to 4.5% in Q2 FY24. Gross debt stood at 343 crores as on 30th September as compared to 343 crores as on March 31st, 24, with gross debt to equity at 0.21x. Order book on standalone basis stood at 9203 crores as on September 30th, 24. Public sector accounts for 73%, while private sector accounts for 27% of the total order book. I now open the floor for questions, please.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Nirvana Laha from Badrinath Holdings. Please go ahead.
Hi, am I audible?
Yes.
Yeah, thank you. Sir, congrats on another great quarter. Sir, my question is a little strategic in nature. So if I look at your execution history from FY18 to FY24, obviously earlier you used to be 80-90% private order book and now you're about 75% government order book. So you've explained that you do the design part in government projects and you're able to earn 200 bits higher margin in these projects. But sir, if I look at the working capital, it used to be less than 100 days pre-COVID. Now it is touching 200 days. So at a return on capital level, sir, we are either at the same level or maybe even lower. Plus there are, you know, liquidity risks of non-fund-based limits, etc. So I know you've answered this before, but I would again like to hear your thoughts on how do you plan to keep the balance between private and government? Is there any intention to bring it back to 50-50 or are you comfortable at these levels?
Yeah, good question. So the point is that you have to look at the whole year performance to come at any conclusion as far as the working capital is concerned. If you look at the quarter one, there was basically a reduction in the net working capital by 13 days. This quarter, some of our payments got shifted into October because of elections which were going on. However, now with the elections getting over by November 23rd, we see a very strong collection in quarter three happening. That is evident from the 200 plus crores collection done in October already. And therefore, you will see a reduction in net working capital in quarter three with further improvement in quarter four. We stand committed to that 100-day level by the year end. This I have repeated earlier also. However, the internal targets continue to remain at 90 days, but we are very confident of achieving 100 days net working capital by the end of the current fiscal. And that will only improve going forward. You see that you mentioned COVID, and COVID taught us that over-dependence on any one, whether private or public, is not warranted. It is very dynamic in nature. We continue to bid for both private sector and government sector. Our last major order has happened from private sector. Again, therefore, tilting or improving the balance of order book slightly in favor on private sector. So there is nothing called 50-50. We will continue to bid for projects in both private and public. Quality of client continues to be the most important parameter while taking an order book. Third, liquidity issues cannot arise. The retention amount over the last 1 year on absolute basis on increased top line has reduced to 135 crores from 170 crores last financial year. The company is sitting on more than 250 crores on unutilized bank guarantee limits, and therefore we do not see any issue of collecting our retentions or advances, which will happen substantially in the current quarter, given the new order wins, due to non-availability of non-fund-based limits. I hope to have covered all your points. Thank you.
Sure, sir. Thanks a lot for the detailed answer. Sir, on the signature global order, first of all, congratulations on bagging such a large order. When can we see the execution start, and how do you see it ramping up?
So the execution of this order will start in quarter four of the current fiscal. And given the completion period, it should peak at about 25 to 30 crores per month. This order is in two phases. Phase one will start from first quarter, and phase two may start from the second quarter of the next fiscal.
Okay. Sure. And sir, if I look at
I stand corrected, fourth quarter and the first quarter.
Fourth and first. Okay, thank you so much. Sir, if I look at your FY24 annual report, we had taken a 112 crore receivables write-off. I assume this was to do with clients which faced difficulties during COVID. If you can call that out, please, because I'm not aware of the history, which clients and what projects were they pertaining to. And if there are any other receivables on our book currently which are at risk of such write-offs. I understand that you've already taken possession of some assets which you intend to sell. So if you can just give some idea about all these aspects, what is happening to the assets held for sale, plus how much more receivables can be expected to slip to, you know, us taking possession of such assets, and the write-offs happened from which client? Thank you.
So the write-offs predominantly, close to 80-90 crores were for the Radius Group. And these write-offs were not only because Radius was in joint venture somewhere with Sumer, somewhere with DB Realty and elsewhere. So coming to the fact that it's not only last financial year, the company has followed an aggressive provisioning policy subsequent to the COVID year, and we have provided for more than 180 crores of expected credit losses, which means that we are not left with any surprises, which I reaffirmed in the last quarter as well. And therefore, we do not expect the PAT to be impacted by any untoward provisioning happening from slow-moving debtors or bad debts and or additional provisioning. That's point number one. Point number two, the company's aggressive collection drive, which is more of legal in nature at various forums, whether RERA, whether it is at NCLT or High Court, has ensured that the company is today holding assets in excess of 200 crores market value as against a total collection
due of 100.
Of a collection of about 115 crores. We expect this realization from fixed assets over and above our collection normal targets from our debtors to happen over the next 7 quarters to 8 quarters. Now, what will this mean? This will mean that about 100 crores of debtors or debt levels will fall in the balance sheet. Number two, the bottom line will strengthen by close to 80-85 crores. And number three, the gross debt of the company will fall apart from whatever it falls from the operational profits by about 200 crores from these collections. Hope to have explained.
That's great to hear. The last question, sir, has the sale already started or which quarter do you anticipate this sale starting from?
We are waiting for the NOC for State Bank of India. Pending the NOC, sales of about 17 crores have already happened. We expect sales of close to 80 crores by March 25 and the realization in the subsequent quarter. But as I told you, please don't hold me responsible. These are internal targets. You will see the complete realization hopefully within 7 to 8 quarters. But 85 crores is the target for the current financial year.
Thank you so much, sir. Congrats on the great execution and hope you have a great afternoon. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Aditi from RSPN Ventures. Please go ahead.
Hello. Thanks for the opportunity. Just taking forward the question from the previous participant with respect to provision of impairment. So in this quarter as well, other expenses have increased quarter on quarter. So is there any part of that impairment included in this quarter numbers as well?
There is no impairment, madam. There is the policy of expected credit loss which every company follows. And that is exactly this expected credit loss, or what we know as ECL, is a policy which is approved by the auditors and also by the audit committee of the company. And the company follows that policy, which means that there is a certain provisioning on the working capital, that is work in process, there is certain provisioning on the retention, and there is certain provisioning on the debtors. So this is a normal thing. Again, if you look at the other expenses, the total expenses have to be looked into, and as a percentage, because the revenue of quarter two is lesser than quarter one, obviously because of the monsoons, that we lost 22 days. You will have to look at the full year, where we believe that the company will improve up as a percentage to top line, basically on all expenditure parameters. So further, when you are looking at provisioning, you also have to look at other income where the provisioning happens. So when you take the net of it, it's a much improved positioning.
Got it. And I have a few other questions. So one is the cash on hand, essentially, that has dipped from in the first half. So is there anything to read into that?
Madam, you please see that there is an increase in the temporary increase in the debtors, where the amount sitting in WIP is moving towards certified bills. That collection has just shifted by 10 days, coming into quarter three of the current financial year. So the cash position will be back to what it was by the end of Q3. Nothing to read into that.
And the EBIT margins have been really great in the first half. So is that sustainable? Or do we see some moderation going forward?
No, with the current order book superimposed, we do believe that this will continue, at least for the next 4 quarters. Until unless there is something untoward which happens to the industry, which we don't expect.
Got it. And so last question, so there was this data center project that you were bidding for around 700 crores. So any update on that?
Let the elections get over, madam. We believe that at the moment, all the orders are from government in the Maharashtra state are at status quo. So once the elections are over, we will then pursue for that. At the moment, at least for the current month, we will be targeting only the private sector. And the private sector negotiations are on, and you should be waiting for some good information.
Got it. Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Parvez Qazi from Nuvama Group. Please go ahead.
Hi. Good afternoon. Thanks for taking my question. So my first question is regarding the order intake. I believe you've given a guidance about 3,000 crore of order intake in FY25. So does this still stand, or you want to revise that number?
Parvez, we continue with the target of 3,000 crores. I think there is a scope of improving in actuals, but you have seen that we have been very choosy in picking up the orders, because anything which we do today will have an impact, whether positive or negative, 2 years down the line. So we are very, very particular. Not to forget that MARA has to still add about 3,000 to 4,000 crores of order book to the overall order book of the company. So the company will be cautious in picking up orders. But excluding MARA, 3,000 crores is something which we definitely see as happening in the current financial year.
Sure. And for our two big projects, which is MARA and EDCO, would be great to get a status of the project in terms of what is the work front available as of now and what is the execution run rate now and where do we expect to see it going ahead?
Yeah. So the execution run rate for October for SIDCO was close to 50 crores. We expect that to go to 65 crores by December and 75 by January per month. The total land available is 2,400 crores across six locations, which means that we have to still bill about 1,500 crores on certified mechanism on these six locations, which has to happen by March of 26 in totality. The seventh location is identified. However, once it is received, it shall be promptly informed to you. As concerning MARA, we have received land for five towers of sail component, which are close to 90 stories in height or 305 meters. Apart from that, we have 14 towers on the rehab portion of 40 stories, and we expect another 8 towers to be released by December of the current quarter, that is quarter 3. So we do believe that the execution will continue as per capacity as a subcontract at close to 20 crores per month. However, that will increase to about 25 to 28 crores per quarter four, and it should increase significantly to cross more than 100 crores per quarter from the next financial year.
Sure. Thanks and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ram from Psychus Investments Advisor. Please go ahead.
Hello. Am I audible?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. So congratulations on the quarter. I just have one question. Given the recent discussions around the economic environment, particularly around economics, I mean, slowdown in government spending on infra projects, which has been highlighted in various media reports and all, I wanted to get your perspective on this. With your significant exposure in public sector projects, can you share whether you're observing any tangible impact on project approvals or payments or execution timelines from the government side?
I haven't read any such article. However, having said that, the government spending at 11 lakh crore stands at the highest. You are seeing a big traction in the public or private sector as well, with 40% increase quarter on quarter in the registrations of apartments. Okay. And point number three is you will see a significant spend on the industry level, that is factory side, going forward. We are on the contrary anticipate shortage of quality contractors from quarter four of the current fiscal. So I don't see any slowdown. On the contrary, the project pipeline is full for all building construction companies. They are all sitting on record order books, including our company. So I don't see any such thing happening. Yes, winters are here. You will see NGT coming into play in highly polluted areas like Delhi NCR. You will have some temporary shortfalls. How much that impacts the revenue is anyone's guess. So I wouldn't like to give a speculative answer on that front. But yes, on overall, we see serious traction both in public sector and by private sector spend, all in residential and in institutional buildings like hospitals and so on.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Rajesh Jain from RK Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. I have three questions. So I've recently started tracking your company and I was going through some of the very old calls of 2018 and 19, much before pre-COVID, just after your listing. So I understand that today you have an order book of approximately around 10,000 CR, and you have guided for 25% growth for the next 2-3 years. But back then also in 2018 and 19, even much before COVID, you had an order book of 8,000 crore, and you had guided for the same 25% growth for 2-3 years. But what actually panned out was only 1 year of growth and then subsequent degrowth. So what has changed? And I mean, in the current scenario, how confident you are that the history will not repeat, that the growth will not be achieved? Can you just throw some light on that?
Good question. So you have to first track the company from 2013 till 2019-20, which has seen a compounded annual growth of excess of 35-40%. So first jolt was in the COVID year, and thereafter there was recovery, but not to the extent to match with March 2020. All right, that's number one. Number two, order book was 8,000 crores or more. However, in that order book, MHADA was non-operational at that moment in time, which is operational now. SIDCO for the first 1.5 years was non-operational. So though the order book was 9,000 crores, the revenue was coming from only 3,500 or 4,000 crores business. So that explains the reason why the growth is now happening over the last 3.5 or 4 quarters, simply because the order book is operational and the company is driving substantial revenue from these two big ticket size orders. Point number three, the 8,000 crores order book was spread across maybe 50 projects. And now this 10,000 crores is spread about maybe 20 to 23 projects, thereby giving the company an opportunity to bag another 7 or 8 projects, having a minimum revenue of 10 crores per month per project, and therefore then taking it to the growth projections what we have given you. So summary of all this is that we are more than confident in achieving whatever targets we have lined out.
Okay, that's great to know, sir. So that means you have to keep tracking the operational order book. So in your current order book, is there anything which is not operational?
Everything is operational. Only one location of SIDCO, 7th location, is balanced to be received. Apart from that, everything is operational.
Okay, and what is the value of that which is not operational?
About 2,000 crores.
Okay, that's great. Okay, so there's two more questions. Again, one related to the history and then one related to accounting norms. So in the past, what I came to know from my circle is that you had a lot of issues related to delayed payments of salaries and delayed execution of projects, even those which were operational. I mean, I don't know how much of that is true. So I just wanted to hear from you. How much of that is true, and whether any of that project delays or salary delays issues persist today, or is there any risk of that coming back?
There are too many questions. Number one, whatever the company did, it also during the difficult times, it worked within the cash flows which were received per quarter. Subsequent to that, the company raised close to 350 crores through preferential QIP and infusion by the promoters. So therefore, any cash flow issues, whoever has told, is a matter of maybe long past, and any which way the company has, along with its amazing team, confronted it very, very well. So I do not know who has given you this feedback, which I can only call hearsay. However, to sum up, we do believe that the current traction of improvement in revenues, bottom line, and today the company has a permanent workforce of more than 1,800 strong staff, 80% from the engineering background, 20% from support commercial, and more than 1,400 technicians to support the revenue guidance of 25% growth year on year. So I believe that the cash flow issues which you are referring to were definitely due to the 200 crores which I just mentioned a short while ago, which was stuck with the private sector, which the company today is successfully has converted them into real estate assets, and now is going for liquidation of the same over the next 7 to 8 quarters, which means the company can only improve the cash flow by another 200 crores apart from whatever margins it realizes from operations.
So, sir, today there are there no salary delays or project delays today?
Sir, who told you there are salary delays? Please give me one reason.
No, I'm just asking you.
Okay, I just told you there are no salary delays. There are no project delays. All projects are within the stipulated timelines, original or amended by the client. So the answer is there are no delays. Number one, on payment of any statutory levy and or salaries, and there are no delays in project execution.
Okay, sir, that's very reassuring. And my last question is on accounting norms in your business. So I just because you are into the you are a contractor who execute projects for the other builders, for the real estate companies. As far as those real estate companies goes, like Godrej or DLF or other housing companies, their pre-sales number flow to revenue as per the accounting norms after project completion and after OC is received, as per my understanding. So in your business, is there any accounting norms, you know, for the revenue to flow to books based on certain percentage of completion method? And if yes, then can you elaborate on that just for my understanding?
So we are not a real estate company, first of all, and we follow POCM method as per Ind AS 115. So the point is that revenues are recognized accordingly. And we will continue to follow this accounting norm, which is followed by all construction companies across.
Okay, sir. Okay. Thank you so much. Thank you.
Thank you. Before we take the next question, a reminder to all the participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Akshay from Flute Aura Enterprises Private Limited. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you for taking my question. So I have a couple of questions. First question is, are we seeing any slowdown because of the Maharashtra elections in our construction activity? And my second question is on the employee expenses. So they rise sequentially. So any reason, specific reason for that? Thank you.
Yeah, so slowdown will happen during elections from order inflow perspective on the public sector side pertaining to the state where the elections are happening. So if the elections are happening now in Maharashtra, there is a code of conduct in place. And obviously during code of conduct, which only ceases after the elections are fully over, there will not be any new orders which could flow in from a government to any company. That's number one. Your second question was the employee cost has increased by 7 crores over the last quarter. This is primarily due to increase in employee strength, new joinees, which I meant to say, and obviously the increments which have happened. And this will be on an overall year basis as a percentage lower to the top line as a percentage as opposed to last financial year.
Okay, sir. Got it. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Akshat Mehta from Seven Rivers Holding. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Yes, sir. You're audible.
Thank you for the opportunity. So two basic questions I had is, one is, what is the total amount of bank guarantees and LCs that we currently have on that is currently given? I mean, not just the unused ones, but the total amount that we currently have.
Yeah, question is, how much bank guarantees have we already issued?
Yes.
So total bank guarantees issued currently to the clients are 729 crores within the consortium. And about...
Within the consortium is... 347.
So including consortium and project specific for SIDCO and MADA, the total guarantees issued is 730 crores.
Okay. Out of which 250 crores you're saying is currently still free or unused that we can use for future projects, right?
Absolutely.
Okay. And another question I had is, you know, the unbilled revenue or the revenues that we have given for certification, that number is increasing quite sharply over the last, you know, couple of years. You know, any kind of reason for that?
Your voice is not clear. I have not understood your question, please.
Hello, I should be better now.
Yeah.
Yeah, so my question was that our unbilled revenue, which is, or the revenue that we have for certification, that has been increasing quite a lot over the last couple of years. So any specific reason that we're seeing that increase in number and what it could be, you know, going in the future?
So you please, if you compare, the WIP was 889 crores, which is work done, not billed, bill submitted, all that put together. Was 889 crores on a top line of close to 450 crores last financial year. Okay, that is 900 crores on a much higher top line. Number two, the uncertified bills continue to be at 434 crores, even though there has been an increase in the top line. And this overall stagnancy will now show reduction. So there was an increase earlier, then there was two quarters of stagnancy, and now you will see reduction over the quarter three and quarter four and their subsequent quarters going forward. So the overall target is to get this number over the next 4 to 5 quarters to approximately 900 crores, which would be then comparable to the number what you are comparing with.
Okay, so we want to get back, you know, 2 years back to what the number was.
Absolutely, because there is no reason. We have started the POCM method about 3 years ago.
Hmm.
There was a temporary increase in that, and I will not say that it was not a big increase. Yes, it was a substantially big increase. However, if you see, that amount has now stagnated, even though the top line has improved significantly. Going forward, the top line is bound to increase. At the same time, you will have contract assets reduction or contraction in the contract assets in a phase-wise manner to bring it back to 900 crores over the next 3 to 4 quarters.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Dhananjay Mishra from Sunidhi Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hello, sir. Congrats on a very great quarter, really great quarter. My question is with respect to the 7 package of CIDCO, you said that it will be added one. So, I mean, what is the status in terms of brand acquisition and all?
So, CIDCO 7 site, the environmental has already been received. Earlier, there was an issue of the CRZ rules, which was only 50 meters permitted. That got relaxed to 100 meters. So we are pursuing with the client and we hope that the 7th location will be given sooner than later in the current financial year itself. And that is the current status of CIDCO's 7th location.
Okay, so land and everything is clear. There is no...
Sorry?
There is no occupation of illegal...
No. All this land belongs to the government. So there is no problem from land perspective. It's that the government also wants that the lottery system or allotment system to simultaneously start along with the execution at the new location.
And you said that we have now 1500 crore unexecuted part of the district location, right?
Absolutely.
And then current monthly billing is about 50 crore, which will increase to 80-90 crore in the next 3-4 months.
Yeah.
So next year, can we assume that out of 1500 crore, for FY26, we will be doing close to 1000 crore from CIDCO project itself?
That is the asking.
Okay. And can you repeat the MHADA monthly run rate as of now? I didn't hear that.
So MHADA at the moment we are doing about 20 crores per month. We will continue to do that in quarter 3. We expect that to improve to 25-28 crores in quarter 4. And then it can improve to 100 crores from next financial year per quarter. It all depends on the availability of new building. However, given the traction, we are quite hopeful that this is going to translate into order book. Executable order book.
And this is our share of...
Obviously, we are not consolidating the revenue at the LLP level. okay, because we own 35% of that. Tata Projects consolidates that. However, we will book our share of profit, which hopefully should start from next financial year and should be substantial.
So as of now, I mean, it is not showing in the P&L, right, in the current quarter?
No. I mean, that was showing your revenue would have been 600 crores. So we are not showing the revenue at the LLP level. We are showing the revenue only at the subcontractor level.
Okay, so we will only take profit from those projects as a JV profit?
Yeah. I would like to reiterate that we will be entitled to book our share of subcontract, which will be at the end of the project close to 5,000 crores. And we will be entitled for our 35% project at the LLP level, that is the joint venture level. So these are the two things which the company will recognize.
Okay. And second question in terms of upcoming opportunities. So apart from residential segment, are we looking other sectors like railway or other government projects into construction segment?
So we are not very happy with the RLDA type of projects because of the negative cash flow and the good payment terms which are mentioned over there. And therefore, we have, though we qualify for all the projects, we have desisted from participating in RLDA projects, number one. Number two, we are not only bidding for residential. Nearly 15% comes from a hospital, that is healthcare. We have executed two malls over the last 4 years. We have executed commercial buildings like Oberoi Commerce 3, which has been handed over to the client. So there is a mix of residential, commercial, retail and healthcare forming a part of our portfolio. Currently, all the projects are mixed-use projects, including the one we will be executing for Signature Global. So it's these bigger projects basically are not only residential, but they are mixed. So you will have some portion of retail, you will have some portion of non-tower area, and then the residential plant. Apart from this, you are aware that the company has been executing data centers. We have successfully completed the Delta factory at Krishnagiri, and the company is actively pursuing opportunities in the factory side, which have a better financial closure. The clients are maybe one level higher than the developers which we work for, and that now we having the qualifications to do that augurs well for the company. So you will be basically therefore operating in four segments, residential, commercial, institutional, which would include data centers, and the fourth would be factories. So very exciting times. Please wait for quarter four.
Okay, and lastly, can you give major orders apart from Cisco which are contributing to our revenue as of now?
All. So, Raymond's is contributing 20 crores per month. Mara is contributing nearly 18-20 crores per month. You have Cisco, which is now contributing in excess of 45 crores to 50 crores a month. You have JJ, which is contributing in excess of 10 crores a month. You have Bhagwati Hospital, which is contributing more than 10 crores per month. You will soon have Bhandup Hospital, which will start contributing more than 12 to 15 crores per month. You have M3N contributing close to 7 crores, but is expected to go to 15 crores from December onwards. So all the projects, basically the idea of taking limited projects is that we do not want to have any project in the portfolio which gives less than 10 crores per month. And once that happens, only then will you see the growth of that 25-30% on a higher base. And that is what exactly we are focused on.
Okay, thank you all.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Anupam Gupta from IIFL Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, afternoon, sir. Just a few questions. So firstly, in the order book, is the 858 crore which you mentioned in the opening remarks included or not included?
Not included.
Okay, so that is, so overall order book should be 10,000 crore if you include that approximately.
Approximately, yes.
Okay, and you said by the end of this year, so another 1,500 crore from non-MADA and possibly another 3,000 crore of MADA orders will get included.
No, I would like to correct you, Steve. 3,000 crores non-MADA will definitely happen. MADA Mara, as and when we get the locations to start the construction, that will be added automatically. And we will inform you in that quarter. But Mara is close to 2300 crores now. All right. And we yet have to execute more than, I think, 1400-1500 crores out of that. So that is substantial for the next 2 years. However, at the LLP level, both data projects and capacity are putting all efforts to get the entire portfolio of the project execution in hand. And we are quite hopeful that by quarter two of next fiscal, that should be happening. So let's wait for the elections to get over and then take it forward from there.
Okay. And just continuing on, Mata, you said something you're not consolidating at this point. Can you just clarify that once again? What will you consolidate and starting when?
See, we will not be consolidating the top line at Mara at the LLP level, which is the implementing, which is the executing authority for Mara. Okay? That revenue is not consolidated in our numbers, else our numbers would increase by nearly 25-30%. Okay? We are only taking the revenue which we are executing as subcontractor. What we will add as a line item will be the profit, our share of 35% profit of the LLP into our books, or standalone books, going forward as and when the profits start accruing in the LLP.
Okay. Understand. And when do you expect that to happen or start to happen?
So there are certain, minimum turnover guidelines of Tata projects. I believe that is about close to 1500 crore or so. Once that threshold is breached, the profitability will start to accrue immediately there.
Understood. Okay. And, okay. The second question was, you said you have an inventory, you have receivables as assets close to about 200 crores which you will monetize.
Yeah.
Why is SBI's permission required to monetize?
Because some of these properties are mortgaged with the consortium of banks. All right. And therefore, we will be requiring their NOC. Verbally, they are given as a go-ahead, but it has gone as a proposal to their competent authorities, and we will be therefore requiring that NOC for certain of the sale of the properties, especially the Bangalore properties. All right. Certain properties which are slated for sale in quarter four of the current fiscal will not require their permission, but we are taking a blanket approval, and that all the funds will then, from the sale of the properties, will flow into the lead bank, which is State Bank of India.
Okay, and all of that in your balance sheet is currently reflected in other long-term assets, right?
No, about 90 crores not reflecting only. That's already been written off. I just explained to you, out of 210 crores, what is reflecting in the books is close to 100 crores. All right? And once that 100 crores come, it will impact two things. It will impact the debtors going down and the assets held for sale. These two will go down. So one is the asset will fall, the gross block. The second thing is that your debtors will fall. Third thing is that balance which is not appearing in the books will hit your profitability positively.
Yeah, that's right. Okay. Okay. Understand. And just one last question. In your order book, what portion of projects are currently under execution in NCR which will see impact, let's say, over the next two months at least?
So we have M3M which is going on in Noida. So far, there are no restrictions, but you can never guess. So there are no restrictions on construction. There is restriction on some vehicles which has come in at the moment. There is restriction on the sand, but we don't buy sand. So we will have to ensure that our concrete manufacturers have sufficient quantity to negate that impact. And M3M, as I told you, we will start billing from quarter four of the current fiscal. So I don't see any meaningful impact, maybe 15 crores, 20 crores for the quarter at best.
And okay. And nothing on DLF as well, right? Because the construction...
And that's in Goa.
Okay, understood. And just one last question. Any issues you have seen on employee availability at all?
Employee availability. Oh, that's always a challenge to get good people, no? So that will continue. till the time we do business, isn't it, Anupam? I mean, the point is that that's there across industries. It's nothing specific to us. The challenge is to retain workmen, and we are amongst the first few companies in the construction industry, building construction industry. We have adopted the 15-day payment cycle successfully over the last 3 months, which has made a significant improvement in we being able to retain labor contractors, and we hope that that will continue. So you have to do things which are, you know, innovative in nature to ensure that the labor availability, especially the trained labor availability, doesn't become a challenge, therefore an impediment to your growth.
Sure, understand. Sure, that's all from my side. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Jayesh Gandhi from Harshad Gandhi Securities. Please go ahead.
So first of all, congratulations on good numbers.
Sorry to interrupt you, sir. I would request you to please use your handset.
I'm using my handset. First of all, very congratulations on good set of numbers. Am I audible, sir?
Yeah, please go on.
Okay. So my question is on order book position. If I look at your order book to sales ratio in past 3-4 years, it is coming off, and currently, I mean, FY24 it shows as 4.7. I'm guessing even on September, if you take, probably it would be at the similar level. So is it our conscious decision to do that, or are we choosy for margins, or is there a competitive pressure? Can you just throw some light on that?
Sir, if you see our order book, it is in line with the competition and the industry. Earlier there were times where the order book was 6 times, but the execution period was 5 years. Today, if the execution period on an average is coming down, then your order book cannot increase abnormally, because you need to execute the order book as well. So our policy is that we need to take orders in a particular financial year. Let's say if the order target is 3,000 crore in FY25, then the target for execution is similar to the order intake in the next financial year. So that is the policy which we follow. And obviously, as I just told you, told the earlier gentleman who asked, our policy is that whatever orders we intake, we should have an opportunity to bill at least 10 crores per month. Otherwise, the risk-reward ratio is not very conducive for the company. Point number 3, choosy, yes, we are. There is ample opportunity. There is no reason to go and just pick up orders and then cry over spilt milk 2 years down the line. So yes, we will be choosy. Even if we are choosy, there is enough opportunity available, both in public, private, and in the factory side.
Okay, I get it. And so then can I conclude by saying that we will be somewhere between 4.5 only in future as well?
It could be 5, it could be 3.5. But on an absolute basis, we will only continue to grow.
And that's it from my side. So good luck for future.
Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to all the participants, you may press star and 1 to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Abhishree Bang from JHP Securities Private Limited. Please go ahead.
Hello. Am I audible?
Yes.
Yeah. Thank you for giving this opportunity to me. First of all, congratulations on good Q2 performance. I just want to know that could you please share your receivable numbers with a breakup between debtors, unbilled revenue, retention money and mobilization advance for that matter?
Madam, these are too many questions and very detailed. You can please send me a mail to our investor relations, and they will provide whatever data we are permitted to provide in whatever detail you want. So whatever is permissible, they will definitely provide it to you. But such a detail now, for example, it is there in our financials, in the balance sheet already mentioned. However, the breakup can be provided and the movement then can be studied by you.
Okay, so I just want to know whether all of this data could be provided, like are you, because sorry to say, but IR team of our company, they are not willing to provide it on quarterly basis.
Who?
For the public information, and we are only have access to get this information on annual basis. So either
what we will do is we will set up your conference with our IR team. You can discuss with them. I'm sure that whatever is permissible under the LODR guidelines, they will have no hesitation, and that's what capacity has been following since inception. So we are very transparent. Whatever data you want and is permissible under SAB LODR guidelines, we'll definitely will provide that to you. That I can assure you.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Khadija Mantri from Capri Global. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, sir. So I have two questions. One is, in Q3, do we expect the execution to be impacted because of election, and whether we will have a good growth on YOY basis as well?
Please expect execution to grow. Elections have no impact on execution of existing projects. They only have an impact on government inflow of orders of the state where the elections are happening. So I don't see any reason for elections having any impact whatsoever on the top line of the company. The growth will continue.
Okay, sir. And sir, the next question is, this 1200 crore order that you received from Signature Global, it is part of the 1500 crore order inflow that we have talked about till year to date, or is it over and above that?
Okay. No, it is a part of the 1500 crores year to date order inflow. And we are targeting another 1500 crores over the next 5 months, the current fiscal.
And sir, in this project, the scope of the work for us remains the same as the previous project, or is it something different that we would be doing in this project?
No, all private sector projects, whether we do L&T does, more often than not, we try to do only shell and core. And we will be doing only shell and core works for the residential, tower, non-tower, and the retail area. So this is, the scope will remain the same. But yes, as you are seeing that the sizes of the projects, especially in Delhi NCR area, are increasing many fold. So earlier the average size used to be 250 crores, 300 crores, which has now suddenly shot up to in excess of 800,000 crores. So apart from that size difference, we don't see any other scope change as of now.
Okay, sir. Thank you so much. All the best.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Amit Agicha from HG Hava. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, sir. Am I audible?
Yes, sir.
Thank you for the opportunity and congratulations to the whole team for a good set of quarter numbers. My question was with respect to, like, are there any plans to diversify into new geographies or segments beyond the current focus?
Sir, we, before COVID, were in seven top cities of the country. Again, we have increased over the last 1.5 years back. We are in Mumbai. We will be in Pune whenever the opportunity comes, but yes, we are there. We are Mumbai MMR, which is considered as one geography. We are in Delhi NCR, which is considered in as a second geography. We are in Gandhinagar, Gujarat, which is a third geography. We are actively looking at Hyderabad and bidding in projects for over there. That's the fourth geography. And we will look at project-specific, especially relating to factories, wherever such project comes. However, the quality of the client will be of paramount importance.
Thank you. It was helpful. All the best for the future.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Rajesh Jain from RK Capital. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. Thanks for the follow-up. I just want to understand on the raw material pricing, like if the raw materials prices increase, then will you have to absorb the entire cost or some of it is passed through in your contracts?
In private sector, it's full pass-through. In the government sector, all projects have price variation clauses, which is commonly known as escalation clauses, which cover up for price increases. All right, whether it is material or labor. So this is the protection which any contractor keeps when bidding for government projects and or private sector projects. So answering your question, that we have adequate cover for increase in prices. If the prices decrease, obviously the client will take away that decrease. So, as I have repeated in the past, our orders are non-speculative in nature.
Okay, so this pass-through and the escalation, the pass-through in the private sector and the escalation clauses in the government sector, this is with a delay of like one quarter, two quarter? How does that work?
It is not a delay. It is at the end of each quarter. So basically, whatever work we did in quarter two will get billable in quarter three. So to that extent, there is overlap. But then that is only an overlap of one quarter, which continues then.
Okay, sir. Okay. Thank you so much.
Thank you. As there are no further questions, I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Rohit Katyal for closing comments.
I would like to thank all of you for joining us on this call today. We hope we have been able to answer your queries. Please feel free to reach out to our IR team for any clarifications or feedback. Thank you and have a good day.
On behalf of Capacite Infra Projects Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us and you may now disconnect your lines.